Reading from Psalm 121, which is in the Pew Bibles, pages 516 to 517. If you're able, please stand and honor God's word. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This is God's word, and may you be seated.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting Colleen and I into membership here at Windsor, and thanks to Pastor Ben for inviting me to preach this morning, and thank you for listening to me preach God's word to you this morning. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. This is one of the stanzas in John Newton's famous hymn, Amazing Grace. It acknowledges that there are many dangers, toils, and snares in the Christian life. Similarly, this psalm that Aaron just read, Psalm 121, it assumes that there are many dangers in the Christian life. Dangers from which we need protection. Dangers from which we need keeping. We face dangers from other people, hurtful words, physical harm. We face dangers from the environment, tornadoes in the south, earthquakes in the Middle East, COVID-19. Scripture teaches that we face dangers from the unseen spiritual world, the devil, his demons. We face dangers from ourselves, our own weakness, our mortality, our sinfulness, our susceptibility to disease. And we cannot forget that as fallen, sinful creatures, we also face danger from a righteous and holy God and his coming judgment. But this psalm teaches us that we can lift up our eyes to this God for our help. And the psalmist testifies in verse 2 that his help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So where does your help come from? It's natural for us to look for help from the dangers of this world in earthly things, our jobs, financial security, grades at school, educational prospects, our talents and accomplishments, our health, our friends and family, our personal connections, our houses, our country. All these earthly things are blessings from God, and they do help us. They do keep us from danger. But they can't ultimately keep us from danger because they're not secure in themselves. Jobs can be lost, health can be broken, people can disappoint us, countries can fall apart. But the Lord our God is a secure help in himself. As the psalmist says, he made heaven and earth, and he stands outside of heaven and earth. And he rules over all things, including your life. How, though, can this God, this holy God, be a help to sinners? If we've offended our Creator with our sin, how can he be our help? This is where the message of Christianity is good news. It's a message of the God of compassion, as Zach said. Right? In Christ, this compassionate God has made a way for us to be forgiven and restored to a right relationship with him. Christ died for our sins. He was raised from the dead to bring us to God. And now he calls everyone to lift up their eyes to him. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. So if we want to know God as our help, as our keeper, we must first be reconciled to him by coming to him, believing in his son. And then when we come to him, Jesus promises us this: "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." John 6:37. And this is what Psalm 121 is all about. It's a promise from God's word that the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who is crucified, risen, and is now enthroned in heaven, this Lord Jesus will keep his people from all danger. If you're a believer, he promises to keep you to the very end. I see this promise developed in three steps in this psalm. First in verses 3 to 4, then in verses 5 to 6, and then verses 7 to 8. That'll be the 3 points of my sermon. So first, verses 3 to 4, here we see that the Lord will certainly keep you. Verse 3 says, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." Verse 3 uses an emphatic form of the Hebrew verb, so it probably means something like, "Do not think that he will let your foot be moved. He won't. Do not think that he will slumber. He certainly won't." And then verse 4 reinforces this by saying, "Behold." And that's why I say the point is the Lord will certainly keep you. There's an emphasis in these verses. Note, too, that all the pronouns "you" throughout this psalm, they're all in the singular in Hebrew. So the promise of this psalm is meant to be very personal. It's showing God's concern not only for his people as a whole, not only for Israel, not only for the church, but for each one of you who is part of the church, part of the Israel of God. Well, verse 3 says, "He will not let your foot be moved." And this assumes that there's a danger of falling. Physically, some of us who are growing older may be afraid of the danger of falling. Spiritually, the suffering we experience in the world may threaten our faith to slip. The dangers, toils, and snares of our lives threaten our footing in body and soul. But this psalm promises that the Lord will not ultimately let you slip. It promises that he will keep you standing. Verse 3, "He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." And what this is saying is that the Lord is vigilant in keeping his people. He's vigilant in keeping you because God never sleeps. Even in the man, Christ Jesus, we see his vigilance and divine strength in staying awake. On Maundy Thursday, we heard a sermon about the story of the Garden of Gethsemane. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took Peter, James, and John to this garden to pray with him, and they all fell asleep. But he stayed awake, and he prayed, and he patiently instructed them to stay awake, to watch for temptation. Even though he was surely exhausted and experiencing great sorrow and knowing what was coming, he stayed awake. His disciples were weak and falling asleep, but he remained vigilant and stayed awake. If he didn't slumber on the night of his betrayal, how much more can we trust him to be vigilant now that he's enthroned in heaven? We are weak and sometimes in danger of losing our footing. I can bear witness myself that there was a time when my foot almost slipped. But the Lord brought my soul out of trouble. When we are weak, he is strong. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord will certainly keep you. The next two verses, verses 5 and 6, they expand on this promise, and they teach that the Lord will keep you day and night. Look at verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Let's step back for a moment and notice how many times that this psalm uses the word keep. You see it in verse 3, and then verse 4, and then verse 5, and then verse 7 two times, and then verse 8. This is why I entitled this psalm, "The Lord is Your Keeper." I'm not making this stuff up, right? Okay? In the book of Numbers, the Lord tells Moses to have the high priest, Aaron, speak this blessing to the people of Israel. Maybe some of you know it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. So blessing are all the good things that the Lord gives you. And keeping is God protecting you from all the evil in the world. And this psalm is all about keeping. It's about the Lord protecting you from evil. Another repeated word in this psalm is the name of the Lord. You can see that in verse 2, and then verse 5 two times, and then verse 7, and then verse 8. When you see the word, the name of the Lord in capital letters in the Old Testament, it refers to the name of Israel's God, Jehovah or Yahweh. This is the name revealed to Moses in the burning bush. God tells Moses, "I am who I am." The verb "I am" in Hebrew is Hayah, and it's related to the name of Israel's God, Yahweh. So his name teaches us that God exists. Most fundamentally, he is the one who is. And many of you probably know that in John's gospel, Jesus identifies himself as "I am" as well. Jesus is the one who is. And Psalm 121 is teaching us who the risen Lord is for his people, who he is for you. But he not only exists, he exists as your keeper. Verse 5 says, "The Lord is your keeper." He is the one who protects you. Verse 5 also says, "The Lord is your shade on your right hand." He's like the roof over your head or your umbrella at the shore. Verse 6 says, "The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." I think there are physical and spiritual aspects to this promise. The sun, physically, the sun can threaten to burn you if you're out in it without protection. And then many in the ancient world thought that the moon could have harmful physical or spiritual effects on you. But I also think there's kind of a generality to this statement. It's very poetic. And I think it's saying, verse 6 is saying, whether day or night, the Lord will be your shade of protection. He will keep you day and night. So what do you fear? What do you fear during the day? It's kind of a silly example, but I sometimes fear flying on an airplane. I get on the airplane and I picture, the wings are very flexible, you know, which is probably a good thing, right? But I picture them just breaking off, you know, and the plane just plunging into the ocean. So, and I do this almost every time I get on the airplane. And if I don't watch it, you know, it gets in my head, you know, and I can become really afraid. Statistically, I know I'm much more likely to die in a car accident. What I need to do is listen to the statistics. And what this psalm does is it gives you a more certain statistic that you need to hear. If you're a believer, the Lord will keep you every day, even on the difficult days. Some days are difficult, no doubt. We might have a test at school, tough meeting at work, uncertain medical test. But the Lord will keep you every day, When you are afraid, you can trust in him. So when I get on a plane, I pray, Lord, please keep me safe. And when we land, I thank God for a safe journey. Right? The Lord will keep you during the day, but the Lord will also keep you during the night. So many bad things happen during the night, but you can trust the Lord to keep you. He's promised to do so, even on the difficult nights. For those of us who are up at night, we work at night maybe, or we have children, small children, or we struggle sleeping, what a great time to seek the Lord in prayer. Because at those times, the Lord does not slumber or sleep. He's awake. He's awake during the night, and you can come to him in prayer. He will keep you day and night. You see, you have to see that God is for you in Christ. This is what it means in verse 5 when it says, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. That's like saying he's your wingman. It's like saying he has your back. He's for you. He's your keeper. And the last two verses of this psalm teach us that the Lord will keep you now and forever. So verse 7 says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. In these verses, we see how comprehensive the promise of God's keeping is. The psalmist says that the Lord will keep you from all evil. That's as comprehensive as it gets. But how can it be true in light of the reality of suffering? All people in the world suffer from the effects of evil in the world. And God's people sometimes suffer even more as we're called to take up our cross and follow the crucified one. How can I say in good conscience to Christians experiencing suffering that the Lord will keep you from all evil? Maybe your foot has slipped and you've broken something. My stepmom, just a month or so ago, she's a Christian, she's a believer. She slipped on the treadmill, broke her arm, shoulder, had to have surgery. It's going to be a long recovery period. How can I say to her, he will not let your foot be moved? Maybe you've experienced, and I'm sure many in here have, maybe you've experienced something far worse than this. How can I say the Lord will keep you from all evil? I've really struggled with this the last 2 weeks as I prepared this sermon. And at first I thought, well, the Lord keeps us through evil, even when he doesn't keep it from us. And I do think that's true. I think that's true from the Bible. I think it's true theologically. The difficulty is that that explanation cuts against the wording of the psalm. Right? The psalm says the Lord will keep you from all evil. So in what way can we say that God promises to keep his people from all evil? Well, I think we need to, in order to understand and embrace this promise, I think we need two things. First, I think we need to have our hearts and minds rooted in the theological truth that God, who is light, who is perfectly good and for us in Christ, is sovereign over the evil that happens in our lives, even when it's great evil. God never does evil, but he uses the evil we experience to work good in our lives. Do you remember what Joseph said to his brothers who sold him into slavery? He said to them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He doesn't excuse the evil of his brothers. He recognizes it for what it is. And yet, he realizes that there is a God who's sovereign, who can take things, evil things in our lives, and work good from them. Think of the cross. The most righteous man in the history of the world was unjustly accused and crucified. What a great evil. And yet God was in it. He used this great evil to bring the salvation of the world. So You have to have your heart and your mind rooted in the theological truth that God is working good for you through the evil that you face. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. In this sense, he will keep you from all evil. Second, I think to understand and embrace the promise of verse 7, we need to take the long view. Because we often don't see the good that God is working for us immediately. Did God keep his son from all evil? Well, if you only look at the cross, you'd have to say no. What great evil he experienced that day. But if we look at the resurrection 3 days later, we can say yes. His father kept his life from death. He kept him from all evil. He brought about good from the cross, and he's bringing about eternal good from the cross. We need to take the long view. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. Psalm 121 is not a promise that we'll never experience suffering in this world. Christ warned us, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life in this world will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Mark 8:34 and 35. Following Christ is not easy, but it is worth it. Because as it says in verse 7, the Lord will keep your life, even through death. He promises us the resurrection. He will keep you from all evil. But the promise of Psalm 121, it's not just for the future. It's not just for the future resurrection. It's for our lives now and the present as well. Verse 8 says, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Right? So the promise, according to verse 8, is for this time. Yes, God's people suffer. God's people even suffer persecution sometimes. But how often does the Lord keep us from evil in this life? How many days has the Lord kept you? How many nights has the Lord kept you? How often have you been kept safe in your traveling? How often have you been kept safe at school? How often have you been kept safe in your work or safe in your homes? Or safe when you sleep, or safe when you wake up. These are just small fulfillments of this psalm, and they should give us hope that the Lord will keep you to the end, that his compassion is without bounds and extends eternally. So here's the main point of Psalm 121, and this is what I want to leave you with. The Lord Jesus will keep you day and night, now and forever. So we should lift up our eyes to him, to the one enthroned in heaven, and know that he will keep us safe. Let's pray. Father, thanks for the promise of this psalm, and we ask that you would give us faith to believe it. In Christ's name, amen.